topics loosely followed. Welcome to the Perpetually Untitled Podcast.
So where were you today?
You
were doing stuff.
I was doing stuff. So my birthday is, it's my birthday-ish. Like
soon, very soon.
Soon, yes. And we've tried to, over the years, move away from like stuff and more to either things that are experiences or consumables or things like that, right? Because we have, we have stuff.
Yeah.
I think everybody has too much stuff, like across the board. Not everybody. Like, you go into certain people's house, you're like, okay, they have the right amount of stuff. But maybe all their stuff's like in a box somewhere or hidden behind closets because they did a quick little cleany-cleany before you came over, right? But we have plenty of stuff. And when we want stuff, we just go get it. One way we've controlled the amount of stuff is by not getting each other a lot of stuff. So my lovely wife said, I have a surprise for you. Do you want to know what it is? Or do you want to be surprised up until like the moment? And I said, I'd like to be surprised up to the moment. Well, and I asked a couple questions like, do I need to dress up? You know, are we going somewhere where I need to look nice? Nope, you wear basically whatever you want. And I wanted to know, like, is it going to be us or is it going to be like people? She said, it's just us. And so that's the only details I had was that I had like a certain window of time that I could wear basically anything I want and that I wasn't going to like see people. So I didn't have to impress or anything like that. I typically or ever dress to impress, but you know, just those are, impress, I wanted the bare minimum of details. So I didn't know what we were doing until we were literally walking in the door. It was a massage, which was super awesome. And she's like, yeah, you've been saying for months now that, you know, a massage would be great. And we don't have a working hot tub anymore because the $300 Black Friday several years ago one that I bought that's inflatable.
Your inflatable hot tub.
My inflatable hot tub has broken for like the third time. And I'm tired of like always duct taping it together. So.
When you say broken, you mean like it sprung a leak or?
No, the pump keeps failing.
Oh,
and
I
kind of know what it is. I think I know what it is. Last time I was able to kind of jerry rig it together. There's a little flap sensor that it's a sensor tells the controller in it that like water is actually flowing. So the heater can be on and doesn't burn your house down. That little flap like breaks off and then.
That seems like a flaw.
Yeah. And so then the pump thinks that there's no water flowing through it. No, I better shut down and not burn Matt's house down. And you got to tear the whole thing apart to get to it. I've gotten my $300 of use out of it over the years. So it's just sitting in the sunroom for now, empty and consuming space.
Okay. So did Dana also get a massage or was this just you?
No, she did. And now most couples must go in and like do like some sort of like a couple's massage where you're like in the room together and next to each other or whatever. And it always confuses places when we show up as a couple, but we're like, no, we're going to be in separate rooms. And I don't know why that's confusing to them. I guess maybe because it's just not the norm. We both had an appointment at the same time. And so they're looking at us confusedly like, did we book this wrong? Are you supposed to be in a couple's massage? And I'm like, no.
I have always assumed that couples massages are one of the partners doesn't trust the other partner in a massage parlor. I don't know. That might be totally unfair.
I have no idea.
Assumption.
I had never considered that, but that is definitely a possibility.
In a city where Deshaun Watson is still listed as one of our quarterbacks. I mean, yeah.
Well, and I like silence.
Okay.
And Dana tends to be a little chatty with her, like whoever her person is. So I definitely do not want to be in the room with her because I don't
want
a conversation.
Fall asleep,
I want to be, you know, like the mood music they have playing and is fine. So that was really nice. Very happy. And we just got back from that. So I'm kind of riding that like post massage high right now.
Just that jello muscle feeling.
Yeah. You've got plans tonight as well.
I do.
Christmassy plans or Halloween?
No, like these are friends, family friends. And so you and I had texted about availability and then they're like, oh yeah, let's do dinner. And I was like, well, it seems dumb to say no.
Yeah. Oh, I can't.
Because we hadn't firmed up anything yet.
We can't. I'm recording my podcast.
Well, and we didn't even have a time yet. So, yeah. So anyway, so we're going venturing over to the east side snow belt. So we'll see how bad the snow is. We didn't get enough here to bother busting out the snowblower. I know you got the snowblower
twice. Twice.
Yeah. I think we've got maybe 2.5-3 inches.
Like enough that you could probably drive over it.
Like Rob shoveled, but probably we didn't have to. You could definitely drive over. It's that, you know, 3 days after the snow falls, anything that you've driven over turns to ice situation that we try to avoid because it feels unkind to our postal service.
Yep. I always try to snowblow. Gosh, this is super boring. But yeah, I mean, we definitely had enough that I had to snowblow twice.
So how long are you staying up here before you get out to Florida?
I'm kind of kicking myself because I was like, I want to be here through my birthday to see people. And now I'm like, what was I thinking in that moment? Like I'm very disappointed.
You own a place in Florida. Yeah,
I am extremely disappointed in past Matt right now for the decisions that he made. Now, on the flip side, like it is nice to be here for my birthday and see some people. And more often than not, we don't get this kind of weather until like this always happens for Dana's birthday, which is about a month from now.
Yeah.
So the big snow came a little bit earlier than it normally does. But still, I have a place in Florida. I could be there right now if I wanted to. But I'm here in Ohio running the snowblower. Well, hello, Carla.
Hi, Matt.
I am sorry to say, for the first time in a while, we have no voicemails.
Aww.
And maybe it's because I forgot to say the phone number and didn't do an epilogue last episode to remind people of it. So I'm going to put it here front and center. 216-505-0180. Give us a call. Share your thoughts. Tell us what you thought about whatever we're about to talk about. We don't know yet. We haven't pulled the topic yet. Or if you still have some thoughts from a past episode, or if you're new to the podcast and you're catching up on old episodes, talk about anything. Share a cookie recipe. I don't know. We love to hear from people. Carla gets legitimately giddy when we have voicemails.
I like listening to voicemails. So, in this context.
Yes. And I'm going to make a little contest out of it. So
a contest.
A contest. Oh. Every person who leaves us a voicemail is going to be entered into this contest. And the winner gets a yet-to-be-designed, perpetually untitled coffee mug. Delivered for free anywhere in the United States, anywhere the U.S. Postal Service does their thing. And because I don't want to deal with international shipping.
So because we're recording this, what's the end date for this?
What do you think? So we're currently episode 63. We have to get the voicemail by episode 69. So that's 6 episodes
out. Oh, gosh.
That's about 12 weeks. That gives you a couple months.
Okay.
So
we'll sit down and do math and figure out the actual date later, y'all.
So episode 69 is the cutoff. Episode 70, we will announce the winner. Most people call in. We know them and we can find them, right? But if you call in and we don't personally
we'll
know
you,
if you call in and we don't personally know you, leave some sort of contact information in the voicemail. We'll cut it out, not play it on the air, and we'll use that to contact you if you're the winner.
Or they can send it through Facebook.
Or, you could send us a message after the fact. Just give us your phone number when you email or Facebook or whatever so that we can match the two things up. And give us a call. Win maybe a coffee mug that I haven't designed yet, but I will sometime between now and then. And you know what? Maybe I'll do like an Etsy store or something where people can buy some swag. It'd be nice to make a dollar or two off of this thing. It's been almost 3 years.
Yeah. Has it? Yeah, it has.
Yeah.
Because it was around.
Yeah.
It was around like Christmas, New Year's time that we were at your house and talked about it, and then it took us a little bit to get it up and running.
And then here we are years later, recording episode 63, and I know. I'm like, how? And sometimes
it's
I'm like,
wild.
Why? But we're still here. We're still doing it. I have fun doing the recording part, and I have fun after it's done editing. The middle part's a little.
Yeah. You've gotten a lot more streamlined, though, over the years.
Yeah, and I'm a little less picky about things than I than I used to be. So Okay. Shall we pick a topic?
Let's do it.
All right. Boop, boop, beep, boop, 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 beep, boop, boop, beep, boop, boop, beep, boop, boop, boop. Pets. We have done this one.
Have we?
I'm pretty sure we've done pets. Yes.
It was really perfect because I was going to show you something.
I know what you're about to say. Do you want to say it since it will air after the fact?
Sure. So we have a Secret Santa that's going on.
Like the Friends Christmas is tomorrow.
The Friends Christmas is tomorrow. Yeah. Which is why we had so few options for when we were going to record this. So the person that I drew, I don't know very well, but I know that they have two cats that they adore and actually like have an Instagram for their cats. So you don't know what the cats look like in person. I don't. Oh, maybe
no,
you do.
No, I've never been over there in the times that.
All right. Let me turn off my blur on my camera here so you can actually see them. So we've got.
Oh, wow.
Theo and.
Oh, you did them both. Oh, of course you did them both. You can't do just one.
Mingus. So
I know who you have because I was kind of doing the process of elimination and now it's.
I'm making some adjustments. I have a friend. I have several friends who are artists. And so actually the same friend that gave me advice when I was making the pet portrait for you a bajillion years ago. I had to send her photos because it's cold. I'm not driving to her house. She's like, you know, maybe make these tiny little adjustments. But yeah, so I'm making some tiny little adjustments still on one of the paintings. But anyhow.
Well, I think that's a great gift. I think they'll be very excited.
I hope so, because by no means am I a professional. So it's like. It's cute when kids make you art because they're kids. At what point do you have to like have the skill to back it up? I'm not sure. Yeah.
Should we try again?
Yes, let's try it again. Boop, boop, beep, boop, 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 beep, boop, boop,
beep, boop, boop, beep, boop, boop, boop. Americans.
What was with the fist?
I don't know. It just seemed, it seemed the thing to do in the moment. I didn't really think about it. I did a bit of a voice too.
Yeah.
I'm going to veto this one. I mean,
we just had a domestic terrorist attack like 3 days ago. I don't need this in my life.
All right. Third time's a charm.
Maybe. Okay. Boop, boop, beep, boop, boop, beep, boop, boop,
beep, boop, boop, beep, boop, boop, boop. Luxuries.
Ooh, yes.
Yeah. We can do that.
Oh, we were doing it because have I ever told you my biggest luxury? It is so decadent.
Okay.
I don't budget. Like, Rob and I are both pretty frugal. We don't spend a ton, but like, whatever we spend is kind of what we spend. I don't have like a grocery budget. I don't have a clothing budget, a book, because we are modest in what we buy, but that is so much mental energy that I don't have to put forward because we make enough money that I don't have to budget. I don't have to coupon clip.
Yeah.
I don't have to do any of that baloney. Oh,
it is a luxury to be.
That is my luxury right there.
And I mean, kind of same boat here. First of all, we have lived intentionally well below our means in like, for the most part, in a position where we could always fall back onto one salary without.
Mm-hmm. You could sell a plane, let's say.
Could sell a plane. I mean, even with what we have now, like one salary just mean, okay, we buy less stuff, which as I said earlier in the recording.
You're trying to do anyway. Yeah.
Trying to do anyway. So no big whoop there. But I remember distinctly, Dana used to be a big coupon clipper. So I distinctly remember Dana, you know, you get those big globs of stuff in the mailbox, right? That I wish you could just say, don't ever give me these again, but they always show up. And Dana was the type that she would go through pretty religiously and look at all the coupons and clip the stuff we might want. It kind of got the point where it's like, you work hard. I can't imagine that the amount of time you're putting into going through this is actually translating to savings. Like, you're better off, we just buy the things we need and save the hours a week you're spending going through the pile.
Oh, that's
and
that happened. Too much. Yeah.
And once she'd get busy, so the pile would just build up. And I'm like, can I just toss these? No, I got to go through the coupons. So it's been quite some time since we've done the whole coupon clipping thing as well. So that is a luxury, but that's also, I mean, we are blessed and privileged to be in that position.
That's why it's a luxury. Yeah.
Yeah. There are lots of people who cannot live like that.
Right. I was thinking the other day, so we were chatting with some friends and her dad's older and he has mobility issues and they're flying from coast to coast. And so she upgraded them to first class, mostly because that way he didn't have to worry about getting a wheelchair all the way back in a coach because it's a motorized wheelchair, et cetera. But I was like, ooh, first class. I've never flown first class. That's always seemed like super luxurious, super fancy. But
it is
pretty
nice.
Yeah. I mean, I have friends who have said like they will not fly. It's not so much like a time difference. They're like, I will never fly to Asia from the United States in anything less than business class, like coach is not an option type of situations. So you've flown first class?
Yes, several times. Yeah. I've never paid for it. Let me start by saying that. I used to fly enough that I had like status with my preferred airline. And so I wasn't high enough status that like if I was flying a business route, like if you're flying from Cleveland to like Newark or JFK or like LAX or something like that, on a weekday, you're like number 140 and there's only like 200 seats on the plane, right? You're like almost everybody flying those routes is business travelers who travel a lot. They all have status. You're very unlikely to get upgraded. But the nice thing is if you're flying to Orlando on a Saturday or some like vacation destination on a weekend, not a lot of business travelers. Mm. So not a lot of people with status. So you're a lot more likely to get upgraded. So I don't travel enough anymore to have status. But when I did, I would often on personal travel get upgraded to first class. The extra butt width alone is nice.
Ooh,
like you don't feel like,
nice.
You know, you can actually move your arms a little bit and not hit the person next to you. And instead of that tiny little armrest that's like an inch wide that only one person can kind of half use, and the person in the middle always gets it because that's like an unwritten thing. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Okay. I used to fly occasionally a little bit more, but typically it's like one flight a year to see family. I have kiddo with me. Kiddo's next to me. Talk about having extra butt width.
Oh,
I
yeah.
mean, she's tiny. And yeah. So we usually put the armrest up between the two of us.
Yes.
It's really nice if we can get me, kiddo, and Rob all in one row, because then we just have all the armrests out and all of us have enough room. I prefer an aisle seat. And so they can both gawk out the window. That's fine. And yeah, so.
Yeah, but first class, it's like the movies. They bring you champagne.
Yeah, really?
The drinks are, yes, the drinks are free. They give you a little warm rag.
Oh, man.
Air travel used to be kind of glamorous, and it's not anymore. Except
oh, people
for
used to dress
first,
up. Yeah. Yeah.
Except for in first class. And I've even seen like in some of like the travel and business travel related subreddits, like people complaining about, oh, somebody was in first class in sweatpants. So people still, at least some people who travel in first class, still expect that if you're sitting in first class, you should be dressed up a little bit. I never was, man. I never got on an airplane in stuffy clothes, because if I'm going to be sitting in a tube of semi-compressed air for hours, I want to be comfortable. Mm-hmm. So I'm the guy, I was always the guy in first class wearing a t-shirt and jeans or shorts or whatever.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think in a long ago, previous podcast, I mentioned, yeah, I have a, I think it's like a second cousin once removed or something, but like she grew up with my mom. So I call her an aunt who likes to take cruises and has been a cruise person for years. And now that cruises are more affordable, they let the riffraff in. So same kind of sentiment.
Yeah.
Where it used to be far more luxurious. It used to be more unattainable. And now that it's become more accessible, you know, it's not as prestige, I guess.
I haven't been on a cruise for a long time. But even when I did back when, I mean, it didn't seem particularly luxurious, right? But we didn't have luxurious accommodations. I think like most things, if you spend the money, it's going to be more luxurious. But if you're kind of going with the basic amenities, it's probably not going to feel. Now, they don't do like on the Titanic where, oh, you're not in a first class stateroom, so you don't get access to like this. Maybe they do on some cruise ships. I don't know. But you had the run of the place. So but the accommodations themselves definitely felt anything. It felt like a dorm room more than it did a luxurious situation. Anyway, so luxuries. You mentioned that you don't really have a budget, but like you said, you also don't, like, you don't drive a luxury car, you don't wear luxury clothes or carry luxury handbags, or you don't do a lot of the things that you would think of as
stereotypically luxurious.
Stereotypically luxurious.
Yeah. Well, I mean, part of that is like personal preference. So I wear very limited jewelry, and the jewelry I wear just stays on 24/7. Because if I try to be the kind of person who puts on and takes off jewelry to match outfits, I just won't wear it because I will never remember to put on jewelry. It's just not something that'll occur to me. So not a huge draw for me. Like fancy bags, I have never understood. Like the $10,000 Birkin bag, I am so perplexed by that. Like too many people you could feed with a food kitchen. So I mean, and that's not to say that you're not allowed to have luxuries, but I guess the things, once you're starting to talk about like luxuries that represent like almost half of somebody's annual income, if they're a working class person, that feels weird to me. So I haven't really ever like aspired to that luxury for me. I think like flying first class would be really nice. I don't know where we would go.
That's expensive.
It's really expensive.
Yeah, like several times more than the regular.
Yeah. Price. But I think if we did do something like, let's go to, you know, fly to Australia or fly to wherever, I think that that might be worth it for the comfort. Yeah, I mean, for me, luxury is like time too. Like I find it luxurious now to have one day a week that I work from home regularly. I don't have to work from home. It's very convenient though. You know, kiddo is big enough where she could be home alone for a while by herself, but it came in really handy this week because Rob went back to work. She's still off of school. So I was home on Thursday and I did my work and she played a lot of Animal Crossing. And we went out to lunch, which was very nice. That's a little luxury. Like I didn't grow up going out to restaurants very much at all. Like that was a special occasion thing.
So for me, I kind of separate luxuries into two categories. You've got your luxuries that are like make your life better or make you more comfortable or like some improvement to your situation. Mm-hmm. And then you have your luxuries that are more status related, like this just looks nice or this says to the world I have money.
It's a really good way of,
like that, right?
Thinking about that. Yeah.
Because I'm okay investing in luxuries that are just make things better, you know, like get the heated seats or get the, you know, it'll get economy plus. Like I said, I've never paid for first class, but like I've definitely paid to like have a little bit more leg room, you know, but I've never been one to like, oh, I'm going to have a, I don't know, a designer wallet or designer clothes. I do own one item that I would say is purely a, I guess it kind of depends on how you look at it. So I have a very nice watch that I bought a couple years ago. Not like a Rolex. It's a known luxury brand, and it probably costs the same as like a decent used car.
You can say the brand if you want.
It's an Omega, but I mean, it is a nice timepiece. They tend to hold their value. Does it tell the time better than a Casio? Probably not. But it is a nice watch, and I think that's really the only item that I would consider like a luxury item that doesn't serve any purpose other than just being a nice brand name item.
Well, so it's funny you mentioned watches. So I am my parents' daughter, and so they were also quite thrifty, practical folks. My mom did not have an engagement ring. They did not do a splashy, big wedding, big honeymoon. And so instead of the typical engagement ring, my parents bought each other Rolexes for their wedding.
Wow, that's an anti-pattern for them.
So my dad was a big believer in investing in quality. You know, you buy it cheap and you buy it twice type of thing.
Yep.
But they bought Rolexes and my mom stopped working 2 years after they got it. Like it didn't keep time anymore and they wouldn't fix it. And it was this whole thing.
Oh my gosh, that is a whole thing. That is right? Not a...
In the 70s.
That is not an... Yeah. That is not common, I think, for that brand. They're usually kind of on top of like customer service and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And apparently
so
that's
back in the day. But yeah.
I have heard that like owning a Rolex is actually like it's almost guaranteed to go up in value. It's like one of those brands where you can buy it, take care of it, and then when you get it out 10 years later, it's going to have appreciated reasonably well, at least more than like the inflation rate. So people do buy them as investments. Not every brand is like that. And that is actually one of the reasons I convinced myself it was okay to spend this much money on a nice watch, is I knew that it would last a long time. And I knew that if I were to sell it, it wouldn't be worth nothing. You know, like they do tend to hold their value to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an interesting, I guess that's actually kind of a third category. Things that you're investing in because you know they will last, mm-hmm. versus, you know, like disposable items. But you can't tell that, right? Spending more money on an item is no longer, and probably hasn't been for a number of years, any indication that it's going to last longer.
Yeah, it's no guarantor of quality.
Because I had this conversation with Dana, who likes to have, I mean, she always has some sort of a purse. I mean, she's carrying some sort of a bag.
Mm-hmm.
And she changes them a lot because, like most things, she likes to style things. They break all the time. And I said, well, why don't you spend the money to buy a nice bag that will last you a while? And she said,
no, they
don't exist. You know, you're paying for the brand and not for, you know, the quality. And she actually did buy a pretty nice, I don't remember what brand it was, but it was a known kind of luxury brand. And then it broke, and she did like get it fixed under warranty, I think, but then it broke again. And you know, you can't even buy a luxury item for the intention of just having it last longer, because I think that bag lasted as long as any other bag that you had, probably not even as long.
Well, and you nailed it. It's luxury because of the brand name, not because of the quality. So my current go-to-work bag is actually, it's handmade. It's a backpack that looks like a corgi. It's very cute, very quirky.
A corgi like the dog?
Like the dog. It's bright yellow and it has ears. It's very cute. I got it at a gaming conference and it's super durable because it's handmade. So there's a little spot where I was overloading it for a while and the zipper like started to pull a little bit. So I spent $80 on it, which is cheaper than a designer purse by a lot. And I expect that it will last me quite a few years. It's almost a year old now. And then I'll get something different. But I think investing in handmade is probably going to get you farther in terms of quality.
Pause that thought, because I see you have a guest.
We have a guest, yes. What would you like to say, kiddo?
I know that her bag holds a lot of stuff.
It does.
Her bag holds a lot of stuff.
It does. I had to unblur so that you could see that she was there.
But no, I think, I mean, that's a good point. Buying something that is homemade, probably from the person who made it.
Mm-hmm.
Peanut's still wearing the same collar that he's been wearing since like we got him. And it's one I bought on Etsy and it was only like less than $20.
Yeah.
And they customized it specifically to his neck size, because he's a weird size where he's kind of between small and really small. So
he's
like
so small.
Like I measured his neck and it was like at the top end of one collar size and at the bottom end of the other collar size. And so I emailed like the seller on Etsy and said, hey, which one should I pick? And they said, you know what, we'll make him a custom one that's right between the two.
Nice.
So he's got a little bit of wiggle room on either side. And like I said, it was like $20, and it's been years now and it's still in perfect condition.
Seriously, leave them a review.
You know what? I mean, I did. And then I went back to buy another one because it's, even though it's perfect, it's starting to just show its age a little bit. Like there's a little bit of fray here and there, which I think adds, you know, patina, character or whatever. But I wanted to get another one so that I had one
in case it broke.
And that seller does not exist anymore.
Aww.
And I'm very sad about that. And I think I mentioned this before. Now when you go on Etsy, it's just a bunch of people reselling stuff from bulk made stuff. So it's hard to find. I had no problem finding a quality, actually homemade collar for Peanut several years ago. And I tried to do it again and I could not.
I have better luck now filtering to say only sellers within Ohio.
Yeah, I don't even know if that still works, because just because the seller's in Ohio doesn't mean they're getting their stuff from Alibaba or something like that,
through.
You know?
So handmade, kind of a luxury, but definitely.
Yeah. Well, $80 is not a luxury. No. I mean, that's not luxury money for a backpack
that I take to work unique, 5 days a week. Yeah.
Unique, very you, and you'll get your $80 out of it regardless.
I already have. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of any other like luxuries that I indulge in. I pay.
You don't drive a luxury car.
No, I pay for parking in the close lot, which is more expensive, but I have good karma. And so my employer has tried negotiating with the owners of the lot for like a reduced rate for employees of my company. So I've been paying a little bit less the last couple of months. We have to persuade more people to join in on this package. It's like a trial, but yeah, that's something I pay for. Like I could take mass transit to work and it's much cheaper, or I could park in a farther lot that is much cheaper. But my luxury is I don't want to walk in that. Like it's right now it's cold and dark and windy.
And I mean, and I did the same thing when I worked downtown because that falls in that category of
makes life better.
That falls in that category of makes life better. Because I remember, I don't even know what parking is these days. Because I remember back when I actually worked in an office and drove downtown, like management, the owner of the company had figured out what is the cheapest lot that you can get that is within a 10-minute walk. And they basically they gave you that much per month to pay for parking.
Oh, okay.
So you got that regardless, and you could either park in the cheap lot or you could buy a space in a closer lot and then you just pay the extra. So I think back then it was like they were giving us like $50 a month and my parking was like $80 or $90 a month. It's I'm sure it's a lot
double
more
that.
Now.
It's double.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're paying like $150 a month or so for parking?
The group, it was $150 and they knocked it down to $115. But then it's $125 after tax, and it's still like a 5 minute walk. So
and your employer does not, do they offset any portion?
We
of that?
Have it's an FSA for parking, so you can withhold pre-tax dollars. So
My company,
not really. When
it was nice that they reimbursed a portion of it back. In the day, that's a pretty good chunk of cash to pay.
It is. Well, and that's actually a big bone of contention at my employer because we have multiple, locations throughout the region. Yeah. Ours is the only one that does not have on-site parking.
Oh, that's annoying.
Yeah, because we're downtown. So, yeah.
But I mean, the business you're in provides indirectly parking. That is kind of funny.
Yeah, it's
not. Could you park at a park and ride or something like that and then take transit in?
Could. It would take me significantly longer than just driving.
I mean, I barely consider that a luxury because
it's
the amount of time
that
adds
time
to your day and such is, I think the math still probably works out in your
it
favor
does.
If
it
you
does.
Value your time at any sort of a rate, which you have to.
Yeah.
And that's the thing when it comes to, the inverse of luxury, which is being thrifty. And I mean, you're mindful. You snicker when I say I'm mindful, but I do tend to be mindful.
You're aware.
I'm aware.
We have our levels set differently, but you're thinking about it.
And that's why I can get by without keeping a budget, because I'm aware and I think about what I'm about to spend money on and kind of do some mental math on it. But everybody's time is worth some amount of money. And I know a lot of people, like, you're thrifty, but you're still aware of the value of your time. And there are people out there who don't take the value of your time into consideration. A good example is I have a friend who, I don't think he listens to the podcast. Jimmy, if you're listening, I'm not making fun of you, I promise. And this is like, he's very aware of this, but like he's building a solar system for his camper, like to be able to be off grid.
A solar energy, not like the sun, the planets, etc. Solar system.
No. I'm sorry. Yes. A solar power system,
okay.
I should qualify.
Okay.
And instead of buying like the controller that company provides to be able to monitor the batteries and the power generation, he's trying to DIY it. And he knows that I do a lot of those like DIY electronic projects. So he's asking me a lot of questions about it. And the DIY route will save him like $200 or $300. And I'm like, what's your time worth, Jimmy? And you've never done these projects. And I can give you advice, but I'm not going to build it for you. So are you prepared? Like, how many hours of this are you going to put into it? Also, when it ultimately fails and it's not working for you and you have to figure out why, is that going to, when you're out camping, is that going to take time away from your enjoyment of your camper and camping mm-hmm. because now your solar system is not giving you the data you need to know if you can, you know, turn your coffee pot on or whatever, right? Like, is it really worth all of that to maybe not spend the couple hundred dollars just to get the box that does it for you? So I guess I see that kind of the inverse of luxury. Is it luxurious because you're spending the extra money to get the thing you know works? Or is it luxurious to spend the thing that's going to give you more time with your friends and family? I guess it's luxury to a degree, but I guess it depends on how you look at it.
And so, you know, it's your time, and it's also a luxury. Like we talked about quality, you know, if you buy for a brand mm-hmm. name, it's not guaranteeing quality, but is it worth your money for security? Are you willing to spend more to feel a higher level of trust in whatever the product is? We talked, I know, in our brands episode, which was like a bajillion years ago now.
There's very little that we haven't talked about.
It's true. It's true. There's been a lot of us talking. But we talked about like certain brands that we had to go name brand. And it's, you know, yeah. it comes down to like paying a little bit extra for something that you trust.
Yeah.
So that's, I guess, a luxury.
And I personally don't consider that a luxury because I consider that just being smart with your money to some degree.
Yeah. You know what's a really nice luxury that I want to do more of is I want to buy more original art. I feel like
that's like a sign of
being like a classy person, which is not completely, like, naturally.
Talk about luxury. We have a second home in Florida now.
Yes. Yes.
It's not a luxurious place, but it is a second home that
right.
just it's exists for us to dwelling. Go to, right?
Yes.
Yes. It's an attire that we don't need.
Now you have those beautiful antler lamps that you showed me.
We do. We have the previous owners of the condo, and they left it more or less completely furnished, including a lot. They were from Wisconsin, and they obviously missed it because they decorated their Florida home to look like Wisconsin, including lamps in the guest room that are made of, I assume, fake antlers because they're very small. But it's definitely not a style that fits us or Florida, right? Yeah. They're for sale if anybody's interested. 216-505-0180. Give us a call. Say you want the antler lamps. Maybe that should be the present instead of the coffee mug.
But you have to ship them from Florida.
Yeah. If you happen to be in Florida and you're interested in the... I tried giving one of them as a joke to my brother-in-law because he had made a comment about them.
And I'm sure he won. No part of that.
And it ended up back at the condo. I told my sister, I'm like, you can bring it back. It was a gift as a joke. But anyway, back to the art topic is I would like to put some art on the walls. And I would like to find some local art that I can do that with, as opposed to like whatever generic hotel-y stuff you find at, you know, a Target yeah. or whatever that looks like every other person's house.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I guess you go to art fairs and things like that and find local artists.
Like, I know where they are around here. I don't know where they are in your Florida town.
You don't have a database of... In the Tampa area?
I do not. I do not.
Okay.
Because even when I go to Florida, I do not go to Tampa. So.
Right. But I mean, that does, I expect that to be a fairly pricey endeavor because custom art is not inexpensive. I'll probably have to mix some custom art with some not so custom art.
Yeah.
Like we have one piece of art hanging there right now. It's painted like it's in a fake plastic Victorian looking frame, like one of those oval frames.
Mm-hmm.
And it's meant to look like a Victorian painting of a very classy person, but it's a cat.
Oh.
So I think it's fantastic. People either love it or hate it. So it's definitely a bit of a
statement. Our listener, Molly.
It was like $20 at TJ Maxx, I think.
Oh. Our listener, Molly, makes art and also has commissioned art. She purchased a commission of her husband very dramatically posed like on the cover of a romance novel, basically. And it's a painting and it hangs in their living room and it's amazing. You can find Etsy people who will do commission art. So I did a commission, it's a couple years ago. It was an artist that we really liked that was always at this gaming convention we went to. And we would have her do like quick sketches that were very inexpensive. And after COVID, we weren't going to the, you know, the convention didn't happen for a little while. And then we weren't going back right away. This artist wasn't going to be back. So I had her business card and I reached out to her and actually commissioned her to make something a little bit more detailed. It was a totally pleasurable experience, like back and forth. She's a very organized business person on top of being a talented artist. And so we have, you know, this art now that was created just for us, which is kind of cool. I don't know if I would do more commissions like that or if I would just look for things that I liked, but I would like to have more original art. In my very thrifty days, I would go buy an old calendar that I liked. Like I had an Ansel Adams calendar and I would cut the calendar up and use the pictures from that. And frame
them. That's not a bad idea because I just throw those away.
Yeah, no, I would cut them up and like that way you could have like, you know, let's say you want two pictures next, you know,
yeah,
whatever.
That's a great idea. I actually feel kind of dumb that I've never thought of that before. Like that.
You came, that was in grad school. You came to my apartment and I had that. I think I had Ann Getty's up at the time because I was really into Ann Getty's, which is such a 90s thing. Do you remember Ann Getty's?
No.
That was the lady who took pictures of babies in flower pots.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah. I remember the fad.
But anyway, yeah.
And I remember lots of other terrible fads from then.
Like fine art calendars. Sometimes you can get them at garage sales or they'll be in like even a half off bin. And
yeah, like a couple months into the year, you'll start to see a lot of
2025
calendars that are.
Probably you can go to like the art museum store and find like a really nice one. And that's still a lot cheaper than paying for a print would be. So
yeah, well, and I mean so I've done the exact same thing. There was an artist that he did, I forget his claim to fame, but he did the title art for a series of movies, and he was, it was at the back when the library downtown did a maker fair.
Mm-hmm.
They had a whole section that was like artists and makers, and you know, Dana commissioned, because he would do them on the spot, you know, Dana. Okay. Kind of commissioned him to do a little art thing for him, and I kept his card. I used to participate, Reddit used to do a Secret Santa every year.
I remember, you were into that.
And I had so much fun with that. I know this sounds terrible, but I cannot, for the life of me, buy gifts for people I know. Like, the closer you are to me, the more difficult it is for me to buy you a gift. But like, finding a stranger and then trying to come up with something for that person, I had a lot of fun with it. So I participated until they shut the program down several years ago at this point. One of the things I would do is commission this artist. It was only like usually like 30 or 40 bucks to have him whip something up. In one case, this person was really into fantasy, and I think specifically The Hobbit, Lord of the Rings, like the Tolkien world. And so I had him put her basically into a very Tolkien-esque scene, and she was over the moon about it. So I think that's a great, and I know you're doing it yourself, but that's a great gift is something that is custom and unique to a person. You can't put a price tag on that.
That's the hard part, because we had a dollar
a whole conversation
guideline.
right.
So I mean, those are little luxuries, but I feel, I don't know, like it's kind of luxurious to live as if it were 100 years ago but still keep the amenities of today.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, and back to just the whole maker thing, like you can buy a $500 bag and have it fall apart. And then you're carrying around a bag that everyone else has, right? Like they all look, a lot of them look exactly the same. Or you can commission or own for probably even less than that, a one of a kind item that literally nobody else has. If you find somebody who does that, and it's not hard to do.
Yeah. I'm in a book club. Surprise. And it's a mysteries book club, and this is a book I did not finish because I was not feeling it, but it was all about designer bags and counterfeit designer bags and how amazingly accurate these counterfeits are. It's a whole industry. You can see why maybe this book left me cold, but it was really fascinating. You know, it's not, the designer bags aren't expensive because they use better materials, or they don't use sweatshop labor, because they do. Or because of any other factor, it's literally just the brand name.
The brand and the tag,
And how much profit there is. Like, there's so much profit in that. So yeah. I don't mind spending.
Nothing but profit, yeah.
I guess for like
the knockoffs are probably a lot of times made on the same assembly line.
Yeah. I don't mind spending for a genuinely luxurious item, but like you mentioned, there's a whole category of luxury items that are status symbols. I don't care. I mean, I want to look,
well, I think,
like I care for my grooming, et cetera, but
yeah. Well, like I know Dana bought a pair of UGG boots a while ago at like a flea market in Florida, right?
Okay.
Like this has been a number of years ago. And I was like, those almost are definitely fake. If you're buying a name brand off of the back of a truck in a in a dirt and gravel parking lot, it's probably not going to be legit. But she looked up, like, it's such counterfeiting is such a problem that most brands have a
page on their own website.
Like how to validate that the item you have is legitimate. And among other things, UGG has like a QR code that you scan. And I don't know how they prevent the QR code from just not being
also being duplicated.
Whatever,
yeah.
Right? Duplicated. But there was something supposedly about the QR code where it's like the serial number. But I'm still pretty convinced that since she bought it.
Have they held up?
I don't know. That's a good question. She has so much footwear that shoes holding up.
True.
I don't know if it's a sign of... but those were boots I think she used for winter. I do believe they actually held up.
So what's a luxury that you would say is still more expensive than what you can really justify, or you can't quite talk yourself? Like, what's still that unattainable luxury to you?
Oh, that's a good question. And there's probably quite a few of them that I could afford. Like,
it's the justification.
A justification piece, yeah. So... for me, it's a truly luxury brand vehicle.
Okay.
Now, I mean, you're going to say, Matt, you drive a Tesla.
You did sell the Porsche. It's true.
I did drive a 16-year-old Porsche for a while that I bought at auction for far less than a new Porsche. But like, I definitely would not walk into like a Mercedes dealer or a Land Rover dealer and buy a new like luxury vehicle from them. In general, cars depreciate the moment you drive them off the lot, but luxury brands are even more so. The value proposition that is not there. I think another one is like a waterfront property.
Mm.
Like, even though we bought a place in Florida, like it's not on the ocean, not because necessarily the cost of the place itself, but because of the cost to insure it.
Yeah. Cause Florida is slowly sinking into the ocean. Yeah.
Well, and I have distant family that has an oceanfront property on the East Coast. They have to replace their air conditioning system like every 2 years because of the salt water. Mm-hmm. So there's like just all of these logistic things that kind of come with being, you know, in a, and you know, hurricanes.
Yeah.
So,
and also the hurricanes. So,
that's a good question. I'm going to keep thinking about that, but those are the two that immediately come to mind. What about you? I suspect your list is a little bit longer than mine.
So right now, we used to have a cleaning person, and she came like every other week. And then for the last 3 years, we haven't, because one or the other of us has been a stay-at-home parent. Now we're both back to work. I kind of want it, but we haven't really.
It's worth, yeah.
Yeah. Cause,
and that, again, that falls into your time versus, you know, you could be doing something else more productive with your time.
Yeah. It's a little bit better now that kiddo's not like a toddler or a preschooler, which is how old she was last go around. So she's able to help with, she's both able to help with her own chores, and also we have granted her more control and autonomy over her own room. So it looks like a hurricane hit this child's bedroom. And that used to be something that I had to clean. And now it is her responsibility, and we will, you know, occasionally kind of like help her with stuff. But
yeah, we've had a cleaning person since before we were married with only a few like during COVID, we did shut that down.
Yeah.
But like outside of like the thick of COVID, we've had a cleaning person pretty consistently. And again, I guess it's a luxury in that I can pay for it and not think too much about it, but it's not a luxury in that time I'm spending on something far more valuable and productive, like recording this podcast for everybody.
yeah.
But no, that I think having a cleaning person is definitely worth every bit of it.
Yeah. I have to clean for the cleaner, though, is the problem. Like, we are.
Yeah, that is.
Cluttered-ish. And the cleaning isn't the hard part.
I have canceled. You're right. You do have to clean for the cleaner. Like, oh, I got to empty the sink, run the dishes. Uh-huh, you got to organize things. Uh-huh. But it also forces you to kind of clean straighten
up. It was nice.
Like, I might not do the straightening up if the cleaner wasn't coming.
Yes. And then the other luxury would be, I think, like home remodeling type stuff. That's not really a must have.
Oh, yeah.
But like.
No, that. I feel that one hard right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. So we've got two full bathrooms. We have our main floor bathroom, which is the newer one. It's nicer. We have an upstairs bathroom that's dated looking, but totally fine. But our family room is in the basement. We have a half finished basement, and that's where the TV is. We only have really the one TV that we use in the house. And there's not a bathroom on that level. And so I've been thinking about this since we bought the house. Like, it'd be kind of nice just to have like a half bath down there. It would be nice, you know, a little like remodeling like that. It'd be nice to have a mud room, but it would require like putting a tiny little addition on the side of our house. So stuff like that is a luxury because it's not necessary. And I'm really having a hard time justifying it, but I also really want it.
Well, and that's a really interesting topic, and I won't go too deep because we're already past the hour mark, and I don't want this to be a super long episode, but yeah, because so the house, our Ohio house, it was one of those houses, it had good bones, but like it was kind of ugly. It was built in the late 90s. The previous owners, everything was like builder grade, right?
Yeah,
like
okay.
Basic cabinets, your basic white laminate countertop, fake tile looking laminate flooring in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And the thought was we would, you know, remodel one room at a time, and we just haven't really done any remodeling at all. It's less about the luxury of like the cost spend, and it's more about it's a pain in the butt finding contractors that are going to show up and not overcharge you and all of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But also, you're right, at the end of the day, it's the toilet still flushes, the shower still cleanses, you're not gaining any additional functionality. Everything we want to do is pretty much purely cosmetic. And you're right. It kind of just always seems to be low priority because of that. I have a final thought.
Okay. What is your final thought?
Unless you have anything else.
Go for it.
It's interesting to me the things that used to be luxuries that aren't anymore, like power windows in your car. Mm-hmm. It used to be that was an option. That was like a luxurious add-on that you could get if you paid more money. Now you can't get a car without power windows. Like they don't exist, but that's been replaced with, you know, and even heated seats are becoming a bit of a norm as well. But so it's like as things become a norm, there's new luxuries now, right?
Yeah.
And like air conditioned seats.
Is that real? They have air conditioned seats? Yeah.
They have air conditioned seats.
I never want my butt to be colder than it is.
Yeah, you don't live in Florida.
that's true. Yeah.
So heated seats, they could care less down there, but the air conditioned seats are a nice add-on, apparently. I've never had them, but I will say, like, now that I've had heated seats, I'm not gonna have a car that doesn't have them,
right? Yeah.
Yeah. So there's certain luxuries that once you have them, you're there's no going back, and heated seats is definitely
I agree. Yeah.
Do you have any final thoughts, Carla, or shall we shut this down?
You know what? I could always talk, but I think that we've been talking for quite a while, and in the interest of us getting on with our evenings, and I'll see you tomorrow.
I will see you tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I have been Matt.
And I have been Carla.
And we will see you soon.
Okay.